Well, it takes about three songs this early in the morning to get your voice warmed up. So now I'm ready to preach. My topic today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sermon's entitled, Sown in Weakness, Raised in Power. I chose this topic because I'm often asked as a pastor, what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. People are curious about heaven. They're curious about eternity. And I want to admit to you that the only way that I can answer that question is through Scripture. Unlike what many people think, we who are ministers don't have inside information with God. The only information we have is the information that you have. It's found in Scripture. Now, we are privileged, though, as ministers, to have a little more time to study that Scripture. And I also had the privilege of being able to share with you what I learned from Scripture. And so let's turn and find out what God tells us about our resurrection bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. And as you're turning to that passage of Scripture, I want you to know that later on today, I'm going to continue preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, I'm going to preach from the earlier verses of that chapter. And in that passage of Scripture, we find that the Corinthian church is very confused about the resurrection. In fact, there are many there who are doubting the resurrection. They come from a culture which never had a hope of a resurrection. In fact, their hope was being freed from the body. A resurrection was not seen in the Corinthian culture as a desirable thing at all. But Paul wants to correct that misunderstanding. And he also wants to correct their misunderstanding as to what kind of bodies we're going to have. And so he begins at verse 36. And he says this, you foolish person, what is sown does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, it's a bare kernel. So he's talking about a seed. And he's saying it's a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each a kind of seed for its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there's one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of an earthly is another kind. There is one glory for the sun, and another glory for the moon, and another glory for the stars. For the stars differ from star in glory. And so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, a man of dust. And the second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so also we will bear the image of the man of heaven. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is making a series of comparisons and contrasts between the bodies that we have now and the bodies that we will have in the resurrection. He compares our present bodies to being like a seed. Think of a seed you'll be planting in your vegetable gardens in a few weeks. Paul says it's of one kind of existence. There's a hard kernel around it with life inside it. And you bury it in the ground in the same way that we would bury someone who has died. And so that body we have now will someday be buried in the ground. And Paul is saying just as that seed, as it dies in the ground, comes to life into a new existence as a beautiful plant, far exceeding in glory to the original existence as a seed, so it will be with the resurrection body. And so the first comparison and contrast he gives is this in verse 42. It is what is sown as perishable is raised imperishable. You know, we're so used to sickness, injuries, disease, that we hardly give a second thought to its existence. It seems as though that is the normal state of affairs. I mean, even in the womb, we're not freed from injury or hurt. Wasn't it sad this week in the Observer Reporter that it was reported that last year, 2017, 76 babies were born in Greene County addicted to some form of substance. Even in the womb, we can be harmed. Our lives are filled with sorrow because of the ravages of sickness and injury and decay and aging. You know, we marvel, don't we, at a baby's skin. We often use the term, oh, soft as a baby's bottom. Well, I don't know about your little babies when you had children, but those little bottoms didn't remain very soft very long because they quickly became red with diaper rash, and you always had to apply lotion on those bottoms to keep them soft. I mean, think about that for a moment. We are so subject to injury, decay, aging, from the very beginning, even as a little baby. Bad things are happening to us. And what Paul is trying to tell us in verse 42 is this, that there's going to come a time, and ladies, be encouraged by this, there's going to come a time when you have perfect skin, and it'll be softer than a baby's bottom, and it'll stay that way for all eternity. That's the point of verse 42. You know, all the sadness that we have in this world, much of it is caused, isn't it, by sickness, injury, decay, and aging. But there's a day coming when that sadness is all going to be a thing of the past. John had a vision of heaven, and he writes in Revelation 21 verse 4, that God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You see, that is the reality of what our resurrection body will be like. What is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. Now, in the very next verse, we have two comparisons. And the first of those comparisons is this: sown in dishonor, raised in honor. Now, this is one of those sayings in the Bible that oftentimes are misunderstood, because Paul is not saying that our present bodies are evil. Now, this is important to state because the Greeks whom he was writing to in Corinth, they actually believed that. They thought that our human bodies were a great, great evil. You can see the influence of this Greek thinking in Colossians chapter 2, where some of the people there tried to live an ascetic lifestyle, much as a Roman Catholic monk or nun would do. And they had this idea that, you know, the body is bad and bodily pleasures are bad. And so they made up all these rules, like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. Now, these indeed had the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Now, what these terms actually refer to, this sown in dishonor and raised in honor, is the physical appearance of our resurrection bodies in comparison to the physical appearance of our present bodies. And what it's saying is there's no comparison. What we look like now, even in our prime, even when we look our very best, cannot even be compared to the glory and the beauty of our resurrection bodies. After his resurrection on that first Easter day, Jesus began to appear to some of his disciples. And we read that at first they didn't recognize him. We're going to talk about the power of our resurrected bodies, but apparently Jesus had the ability to change his appearance, or at least hide his appearance and not show forth his full glory. But we have a picture in the Bible of how glorious Jesus' resurrection body truly is. It's found in the first chapter of Revelation. And when the apostle John actually saw Jesus in his full, unveiled, resurrected body, it says that he fell down as if he were dead. You see, we are destined, we who are believers are destined for a beauty that your mind cannot even imagine. You know, they say that a human body reaches its peak of maturity and ability and health somewhere between the age of 30 and 33. So sadly, some of us are well past that day. Some of you can look forward to reaching your peak, but be warned, that peak comes and goes very quickly. It doesn't last very long. But isn't it interesting that our Lord Jesus Christ died, as far as we can tell, somewhere between the ages of 30 and 33. And as our benediction reminds us today, I'm going to be using this as our benediction from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is." In other words, there is a correspondence to our eternal resurrected body, to Jesus's. And so as Jesus is now, we will be then. And so I think what that means is that we're not going to spend eternity as in the image of a frail older person, or if we died very young, an immature, not fully developed child, but rather we're going to be spending eternity in a much greater, glorious body than we were at 30 to 33, but perfected and for all eternity. You know, as a minister, I have never had the privilege of serving in the community or in even the region of which I grew up in. You know, I think Reverend Kelly, from best I can gather, you kind of grew up in this area. And so, I mean, you knew some of the people you buried in their prime. You saw them. But unless someone's had an untimely death by accident, almost everyone that I officiate at their service, I never knew when they were really young and at their peak as far as beauty, physical beauty or handsomeness was concerned. And it's always struck me at viewings when I go into, say, you know, Marty's funeral home, and we're walking through paying our respects, and we look at those bulletin boards that people put up with the photos. And for the very first time, often, I see pictures of people I've ministered to as their pastor when they were young. And I'm just struck at how handsome the men were and how beautiful the women were. And it always occurs to me, oh, that's what they're going to look like for all eternity. What is sown in dishonor is going to be raised in honor. What an encouragement this is to us. Now, the third comparison in our text in verse 43 is this. What is sown in weakness is raised in power. I think the first two points I've made imply this, isn't it? We perish and we get sick and we age because we're weak. Our beauty fades because we're weak. And it's talking not simply of the process of decay when speaking of weakness, but it's also speaking of just our strength that we have as well in these present bodies. Compared to what we will be, we're very weak. We're very weak. I mean, isn't it interesting that we have to spend a third of our lives asleep? You know, Scripture, it makes no bones about the matter that our lives here are very short. It compares it to, you know, the flowers of the field that kind of bloom in the morning and by noon just start fading away, or a breeze and dust in the wind. And you think, well, you know, if God is going to give us such a short life here on earth, why doesn't he maximize our life so that maybe we don't have to sleep at all, or maybe only 1 or 2 hours? But in crying out loud, a third of my life, if my life is short enough as it is, and a third of my life I spend laying on my back unconscious. What's God up to? You know, it's an interesting theological question. I could make a whole sermon on that. But I think part of the answer is this, is that God created us that way so that we would have a hunger and a longing for something better. You know, I've been talking a lot about how weak our present bodies are. And that is true. But there's so much good about our present bodies and our present life here. And it's easy to get caught up in this world, isn't it? And it's easy to get caught up in this existence and be satisfied with it. God doesn't want us to be satisfied. He wants us to be thankful for this life, but he doesn't want us to be satisfied with it. He wants us to hunger for more, to recognize our weakness, and to hunger for power. And don't we all naturally do that? I mean, a couple of days, I noticed that Marvel Comics is coming out with another superhero Avenger movie. I think it's called Infinity Wars or something like that. I mean, why are people, and not just kids now, but adults, big fans of comic book superheroes? I mean, what's the appeal? Well, I think the appeal is that we long for something more. We long to be supermen and superwomen. And the thing that's encouraging about this text is it says that this isn't a myth, that there is a Superman. There is a Superman, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And here's what's more exciting. If we have faith in Jesus, we're going to be supermen and superwomen, because as he is, we will be like him. As a little boy, I was inundated on Saturday morning by commercials trying to entice me to buy products that were way overpriced. Well, I guess not entice me to buy the product, but actually to nag my parents to buy the product for me. And one of these products that I would watch on the Saturday morning cartoon every 10 minutes, because commercials come on so frequently, is to buy PF flyers. How many of you about my age or older remember PF flyers? I mean, what was the promise? That if your parents bought you those shoes, you could run faster and jump higher. Well, I got the PF flyers, and I couldn't run faster, and I couldn't jump higher. But you know what? I don't need new shoes. I need a new body. And that's exactly what God's going to do, give to us. What is sown in weakness is going to be raised in power. You know, just a word of encouragement here. When you go to a nursing home, or maybe you're dealing with your elderly parent at home, and you're seeing your Christian brothers and sisters just fade away in weakness in the elderly years, remember this: that the weaker we get in this earth, and closer we are to our death, the closer we are to becoming supermen and superwomen. God is going to exalt us in power. Amen. Now, there's one final comparison. It's found in verse 44. It says, what is sown as a natural body is raised as a spiritual body. Now, this is the comparison where I earn my pay grade here as a pastor. Because this is really, really easy to misunderstand. And a lot of people say, oh, okay. So what this means is that, you know, we have natural bodies here. So that means that we have physical bodies. And by spiritual body, what that means is that we're going to be immaterial spiritual beings like angels for eternity. You know, you had the common picture of people who are dead having wings and sitting on a cloud playing harps. Well, that is not what spiritual means here. In fact, natural is a word that comes, a root word in Greek, it comes from the word psyche. Okay, and I think you've heard psyche before, and so you know that that's not necessarily talking about flesh and blood, but it's talking about the soul, the psyche. And so it's like a soulish body, and what it's referring to here is the animated force of that body. You know, it talks the comparison and contrast between the two atoms, the first atom of dust and the second atom of heaven. It's basically saying, what power is animating our bodies? Well, right now we have natural biological powers animating our body, keeping our body alive. A little bit later on, we're going downstairs to eat breakfast so we can have the power to keep on fueling our body, all right? Well, the second body is going to be animated by the Holy Spirit, by the power of heaven. And so when it says that there's a natural body and spiritual body here, it's saying that we will have a physical body, but the power animating that body is the Holy Spirit. Now, this truth explains why all the other truths I've talked about are true. Our bodies are imperishable because they're animated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our resurrected bodies will be glorious because those bodies will be animated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those bodies will be powerful because they'll be animated by the Holy Spirit. And what does all this mean to us that I've said today? Well, I think there's three applications for us. First of all, our current weakness in the perishable state that we're all suffering in is only temporary. I know at times it seems as though the diseases, the sorrows, the hurts of this life seem endless. It's like a long night that doesn't end. But remember this: as Christ was, we will be. His suffering on the cross lasted 3 hours. And then he got to rest in the tomb for 24 hours. And then he was resurrected for all eternity. That's a picture of our lives. We do suffer, but it's just a brief moment. And yes, we do rest in Christ in the intermediate state between now and the final resurrection. But when that resurrection comes, it'll begin a new day. As the psalmist says, joy comes in the morning. When that sun rises and we are raised in those resurrected bodies, that glorious day will never, never end. So take heart in the dark nights of your soul, because those nights will come to an end. Second application, the best is yet to come. See, in this life, the best quickly fades. You know, I talked about we reach peak maturity sometime between 30, 33, and boy, boom, it's gone. And then it's kind of all downhill after that. But in heaven, we are going to be having a glorious existence. And we now are on the verge of supernatural power and glory. The best is yet to come. Third, because we have received the power of the Holy Spirit now, even though our bodies are weak, our spirits are strong. And we live through this life, we have a choice to how we're going to live. Are we going to limit ourselves to the animated power of the flesh, the natural things? Or are we going to access the power of the Holy Spirit, that animated power of the Holy Spirit? Paul prays in Ephesians. He says, I pray this for you, Ephesians, every day, that you would understand that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. We have a choice how we're going to live our lives. We can live it on the natural level, or we can live it on the supernatural level. Stop living like Adam and start living like Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this day that reminds us of our glorious future, that Christ Jesus rose from the dead as our first fruit. He's a foretaste of better things to come. We thank you that we have the hope of a resurrected body. Father, I pray for those who mourn here this day, who are celebrating this Easter without a husband or a wife or a child or a friend. Let them be reminded of this great truth, that their loved one, the one they care for, is going to be in a resurrected body, more glorious than they can imagine. And we too will be in those bodies with the strength and the power to enjoy you and to glorify you forever. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, let us now continue our worship together.